I love this fellow. Our church loves him. He's such a treasure. Everybody's been around him but love him.
Well, some people don't.
Yeah.
What a joy it is. I trust that this church gets some fulfillment out of being a blessing to us. And you give, you sacrifice, you work toward that. And I trust that there is a fulfillment for you in seeing that we enjoy being here and that we enjoy having a good time together and the fellowship that you provide for us, the wonderful food and place to stay and putting up with us and listening to us and all that stuff. You know, we talk about things and it's like inside jokes sometimes, but, you know, I trust that there's a fulfillment in that for you, and I trust there is. Well, tonight it's my job to get out of Brother Ed's way, because he told me. He said, "Now you just get up there and then get off." He said, I'm ready to go. And so we'll find out. Open your Bible. If you have your book, open it to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. I just got back from Israel, and don't believe the news. Everything was calm. People walking in the old city at night on their own without being with the group. Just walking in the old city, riding the light rail downtown, getting coffee. Traffic's the same. Everything is just the same. No F-16s overhead. No rockets going off. No sirens blaring. Nothing like that. And we were within 20 miles of the Gaza border. And nothing. Now, you say, well, things can happen. Things can happen anywhere. You know, if you go to Israel, you got to be prepared for yelling and cussing and hollering and for people throwing rocks and for maybe even gunshots. But once you get out of New York, everything's okay. I'm going to read these 9 verses of this very familiar miracle of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the book of John is written to present Jesus Christ as God. And the miracles, specifically all miracles, have to do with showing his power and his character and his person and who he is. But particularly in the book of John, there's not a lot of miracles, but some of them are very expanded, very long. You take the healing of the blind man in John chapter 9. It goes on and on in the explanation of that and the argument of that and all those kinds of things. And it shows the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see that in this passage tonight. Chapter 5, book of John, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. I won't deal with after this. You know 1, 2, 3, and 4. Okay? And so, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. You always go up to Jerusalem. You go up physically, and you go up spiritually to Jerusalem. Now there was at Jerusalem, by the sheep market. Now, the sheep market here is not just any animal market. These are kosher. These are sheep that have been raised just outside Bethlehem, and they've been brought to the temple, qualified for people who came to worship God, did not bring an animal with them. They could come here and buy the animal that was already qualified for sacrifice. Okay, that's what this market was. And it's right there beside an ascent from the north side, not from the south side, but from the north side up to the Temple Mount. And so there's a sheep market there, okay? And at the sheep market, there's a pool. Now, there's a pool there for ritualistic cleansing, and of course, there's a pool there because the animals need water. It's a practical thing, and yet it's a life-giving thing and a purifying thing. So there's a pool there, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Beth Ezda. Now, Ezda is a play on words, a little different words. It's the house. It's the house of mercy. The house of mercy. Hesed. Hesed is the Old Testament Hebrew word that is the untranslatable word. There's just dozens of words that are translated from the word hesed. Cloverdale, in doing his translation into the English version, could not find an English word that came near to expressing hesed. So he created a word, loving kindness. Isn't that wonderful? That was created for that translation, that word was. Now, not every time that hesed is translated in the Old Testament is it loving kindness. It's not always translated that. But every time you see loving kindness in the Old Testament, it's from hesed. It's from hesed. This is Beth Ezda. Beth Ezda. Beth Ezda having five. What's that? What's the number five? Grace. Okay, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. An awful looking place, an awful looking situation. Blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Now, we don't know anything at all about this. This is the only time it's mentioned. The Bible doesn't say when it started, it doesn't say when it stopped. But it seems like there is, even from the name of the place, it seems like this is something God did in the interbiblical period when there was no open word from the Lord. It's something that God did to show his kindness and his mercy to the people. And from that comes the house of mercy, Beth Ezda. Now, two wonderful words are used here. Two wonderful words. For an angel went down at a certain season. Doesn't say what day or what hour. We don't know if it was some particular week. We don't know whether it was a certain amount of days before the feast. We do not know what that was. But an angel went down and stirred the water. And when that happened, it says, whosoever. Whosoever. What a wonderful word. Whosoever was the first to step into the water after the angel troubled the water was healed of whatsoever disease they have. Whosoever and whatsoever. Isn't that wonderful? Now, the bad news is it's only one. So into this place of troubled people with all kinds of maladies and difficulties, there was a certain man who has been there. He had an infirmity 38 years. Now the indication is that he's been coming for 38 years. He's been coming to this place at this season of the year. He comes every year. Every year he comes to this place. Do you know he's been coming to that place since before Jesus was born in Bethlehem? For 38 years, he's been coming there. Hopeless, but yet with some kind of hope that maybe this time when the angel stirs the water, everybody else will be asleep. Nobody will be paying attention. Everybody will go to sleep in the church service except me, and I'll stay awake and I'll get something out of it, and he'll get in there. Jesus saw him lie and knew that he'd been so long time in that case, saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Again, I'd like to have heard that. I wonder if he walked over and whispered it to him. Wilt thou be made whole? Or whether he said it loudly enough for everyone to see, to hear. Wilt thou be made whole? His answer was the common answer that people answer and perhaps you answer. Sir, I have no man. I have no man to help me. But while I'm coming, I'm making the effort to get there. Another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, I wonder if it was the same tone or a different tone. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. Oh, and the same day was the Sabbath. Now, that's what got him in trouble right there, was the Sabbath day. I want you to see the scene. The scene is a pitiful scene. It's a scene of all the maladies of human insufficiencies. There are those of us here tonight, and if we could see as God sees tonight, and we looked among this congregation that has come here tonight, if we could see as God sees, we would see all kinds of trouble. We could see people with all kinds of spiritual infirmities. We could see people with all kinds of physical problems. We could see people with all kinds of burdens. And perhaps some have come tonight, not just to come to church, but they've come with the prospect of maybe something will happen tonight. Maybe something will happen tonight that will change me. Maybe something will happen that will change my situation. Maybe something will happen that I will be made whole. That there will come a refreshing. That there will come something in my life that will be a completeness. That will fill up that which is lacking in my life. In to that place of Bethesda, the house of mercy, comes the man of mercy. Into that place of five porches comes grace personified. Into the area of the pool walks the water of life. And into the sheep market comes the Lamb of God. And when he gets there, he goes to what must have been the worst case scenario. 38 years. Hopeless, and then coming there with some kind of hope that maybe something will happen. Maybe I'll be the first to get in. I am a whosoever. And whatsoever is promised to be cured. And maybe it'll be my time. Maybe it'll come my turn. And he's waiting on the troubling of the water. I wonder how many people sit in our churches and they wait for the troubling of the water. In reality, it seems that sometime around the time of Christ's resurrection, this miracle ceased. There was no more troubling of the water. They come into a church service and they think maybe somebody will sing a song that will make the hair stand up on my arms. Maybe somebody will give a testimony that will just electrify me. Maybe something unusual will happen. Maybe the organ will play a little louder, the piano will play a little faster, or whatever. You know, maybe the singing will lift me up. Maybe the preacher will have a word to say. Maybe there'll be something. Maybe somebody will pray, and there'll be something sweep across the congregation that will get to me, and I will say, oh, this is my time, this is my time. And they're waiting for some kind of feeling. The thing that happens when Jesus shows up is it's still whosoever. And it's still whatsoever. But the good news is it's whosoever and whatsoever, and there's no limitations on him. And he goes to the man. Probably the worst case scenario, as I said. And he says to him, wilt thou be made whole? Now, you know that there are other people there who see this something going on between this one who has walked into this area and this one who is 38 years in this condition. And they see some kind of an exchange going on between them. They know this man. They know this man who's been 38 years in this condition. They know him. They mean, well, see, old Joe's back again this year. They know him. They know him by name. They know his problem. They know he comes every year. They know he's there. And they see this little entourage come walking in, and the leader of the group goes over to him and says something. Maybe even some of them nearby heard him ask, wilt thou be made whole? Now, I want you to notice the question. He did not say, do you want to be made whole? His presence there exercises and expresses his want. Of course I want to be made whole. Of course I want that. His presence there says that. But that's not what Jesus asked. Jesus asked, do you have a will to be made whole? Will you look at me? Will you look away from man? Will you look away from the natural? And will you look to the one who can say, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely? Are you here tonight and you need to be made whole? The one who showed up at the pool of Bethesda shows up tonight. You may not be aware of his presence. The man there at the pool had no idea who was going to show up that day. He had no idea. But the answer to his problem showed up and came to him. And he said, do you have a will to be made whole? I assume this is the full exchange that we have in Scripture. But there must have been something in tone of voice. There must have been something in the expression. There must have been something in the movement of the hands or something. And he said, I have no man. And I don't know if Jesus went like this. Don't look at any other man. Look at me. Look at me. Look to me. Quit looking to the music. Now, I love good music. Wonderful part of church. I love it. I love good preaching, but don't look at the brother. Look at the hymn. Look unto him. Look unto him. Wilt thou be made whole? Are you here tonight and there's a hole in your life? There's an incompleteness in your life. There's a difficulty. And maybe even tonight you sit here and you say, maybe something tonight. Maybe something will grip my heart. Maybe something will move me. Maybe there'll be something that will come as a completeness in my life. You see, the will has to do with faith. Wilt thou be made whole? It's interesting in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 1. Jesus comes to the leper. And the leper says to him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. What a statement of faith. And you know how Jesus responded to that will, that statement? He said, I will. I will. Be thou clean. Now, I don't know if in response to Jesus' question, rise, take up thy bed and walk. I don't know if the man just somehow, he just believed what Jesus said. And I don't know whether if he moved a little finger or whether he rolled up on an elbow or I don't know what he did. But he said, I will. And strength came into those legs that hadn't been there for 38 years. I mean, you lay still for 38 years and see how well you get up and walk. And some of you spiritually have lain unmoved for years. You've been unmoved. You've been waiting on some kind of a feeling to come over you. And you've been looking for some kind of a feeling whenever the Lord says, rise, get busy, take up your bed and walk. Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth critics into the harvest. No, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth judges into the harvest. No, he's looking for laborers. And we've been unmoved. We've been so unmoved spiritually that our prayer life doesn't work. That our joy is gone. Our faith is weak. And we come to the pool once again with the hope that maybe something will be done to me. But Jesus didn't say, this is what I'm going to do to you. Jesus told him what to do. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And he got up and he walked. And if you'll listen to the Lord tonight, the Lord will say to you spiritually, he will say, get up. Get up, take your bed up and get moving. Get going for God. Get your spiritual exercise going. You may be breathing. You may be eating. You may be reading your Bible. You may be praying. But get up and get going. And he got up 38 years. Everybody knows him. He gets up and he picks up his bed and he starts walking. And everybody in that pool area with all kinds of difficulties and all kinds of problems, they see that happen and nobody says, sir, will you help me? Sir, what wilt thou have me to do? And we come to a church service and somebody gets moved for God and somebody dedicates their life to God and somebody sells out to God and says, I'm going to serve God. And we say, oh, wow, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great what happened to old brother so-and-so? And we go out unmoved because we didn't get in on it. But the same one that moved brother so-and-so will move us. That's the sermon. That's the sermon. You're not laying at the pool of Bethesda there outside the Church of Santa Anne, inside the Lion's Gate, there in the old city of Jerusalem. That's not where you are. You're at Antioch Baptist Church. I'm not your Lord, but I have His Word. Rise. Take up thy bed and walk.